I have the great privilege this morning of inviting Claudia to come and share the word. Claudia, many of you will know her. She is not only our administrator, she is also a lady who loves the Lord with her whole heart, somebody who God has gifted to teach the word. So I'm very excited this morning to hand over the microphone. I'm just going to pray for her before I do. And I wonder if you could just encourage her and welcome her up. So, Father, thank you for Claudia. Thank you for the gifting that you've put in her. And we pray, Lord God, that you will anoint her now, Lord God, to bring your word. And, Father, give us open hearts to receive your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
It's fine. It's just a little bit wobbly. Thank you. I'm back. that person that was giving notices wasn't my twin sister because I haven't got one. I do have a sister, but not a twin one. She does look a bit like me. Anyway, this is not going anywhere. I was just trying to introduce myself, but Damien did a better job in introducing me, didn't he? So, I'm happy to be here this morning and privileged to share from this passage. And I have to admit that I had to wrestle with this passage. First, when I was asked if I would preach, I was like, yes, I was excited. But then when I read that passage, I thought, ooh, this is a little bit of a difficult passage. But then the more I studied it, the more I realized how applicable and practical it was. And I like things like that, practical things. So I hope that at the end of this message, you will be able to take some practical advice from this that you can apply to your life. So to reintroduce the Apostle John, and what was going on around that time in church, because we had a two-week break from the series of John because we had Easter, Palm Sunday. So I just want to bring you back to that setting. So Apostle John, at the time when he wrote this letter, he was in his 90s. Some people believe that he was as old as 98 or something like that. So he was very old by that time, especially for that time. I don't think people tended to live that long, but he did. So he was like a real father of faith. And not only that, he was also one of the closest disciples of Jesus. He was one of the three that were like the closest to him and who walked with him, and he was still alive. So, you know, he was really special. And I'm sure when he came to visit different churches, they would be really excited to hear what he had to say. And interestingly enough, he doesn't share with us like some complex theological things, but this letter is fairly like simple, I would say, although it's not easy to study because it seems like he just keeps going over the same thing over and over. But the way I see it is, you know, like when you're drilling a hole in the wall, when you want to put one of those plastic things in so you can put the screw in. So sometimes you drill the hole and it's not wide enough, so you have to go back and kind of from a different angle. And it feels like that is kind of thing he's doing. He's just talking about the same subject, but then he just takes it from a slightly different angle to give us like that deeper revelation of what he's teaching. So that's just the way I see it. And yeah, so my title of my message is Truth versus Counterfeit. So that is what I'm going to talk about this morning. And just to help me with illustration, just to help me with the application of the story, I'm just going to share a little story that I made up, but hopefully it will help us to understand this, what I'm teaching this morning. So there were two neighbors called George and Todd, and they both liked gardening. They both had beautiful gardens. They lived next door, and their gardens were separated by a fence. It was like the semi-detached houses, and they both admired each other's gardens. And one day, George went on holidays, and when he came back, he was just unpacking his suitcase upstairs, and he just glanced outside, and he seen Todd's lawn, and it was beautiful. And he thought, it wasn't like that before I went on holiday. And he started to feel a little bit jealous because he really looked after his garden, and his grass was lovely. He fertilized it, he watered it regularly. But there was something about the grass that was in Todd's garden that was just so much better than what he ever achieved. So he went to sleep feeling a bit jealous. And then in the morning, he did some washing from his holidays. He had loads of washing. He went to hang it outside. And then he thought, I'm just going to have a closer look at this grass. So there was a crack in the fence that separated their gardens. And he just went and looked through the gap. And then the closer he looked, he realized that the grass that was in Todd's garden was artificial. So it helped him to feel a bit better about his own grass. I'll come back to that later. So let's just go and read the scripture that we're going to study today. So it can be found in 1 John chapter 2, and it's from verses 18 to 27. It's also going to be on the screen. So, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promises us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as he has taught you, remain in him. So we're going to look at this passage verse by verse. We call this kind of study expository teaching. So we're just going to go verse by verse, because it seems like he goes from one thing to another, then back to the same thing. So we just take it apart verse by verse and see what we can learn from this passage. So first, we're going to look together at the verse 18. So it says, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. So John said those words over 2,000 years ago, that it's the last hour. So if that was 2,000 years ago, now we could be in the last 10 minutes or last 5 minutes. Basically, we are closer to the last hour, I mean, or to the last minutes of the time. And while I believe that one day there will be like a global powerful figure that will rise up and put themselves in the place of Christ, I don't need to spend too much time guessing who it is and when exactly is he going to come and trying to guess whether he is alive now or not or anything like that. And first, when I became a Christian, especially my husband Richard, when he became a Christian, he became quite obsessed with like all this end time stuff, and he would read books about it, watch teachings about it, and even like Left Behind series. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's not like completely biblical, but it's just interesting, and he was really into it because he likes action and things like that. But for me, when I started to focus on these things too much, and I was around people who were also like that, it made me feel almost like paralyzed. So I'm a person who has like loads of ideas. I'm always thinking, always want to do new projects and things like that. And when I thought, oh no, but Jesus is coming, like he's coming back anytime, like I what's the point of doing these things? And that's kind of feeling I felt. And then when I had children, I was like, oh, what kind of world am I bringing them into? Like, it's just going to get worse. But because over the years this like occupied so much space in my mind, I became fearful and negative, and that paralyzed feeling came. I don't know if you ever experienced that. And then, you know, I do believe now that this is the best time to be alive. And how do I know it? Because if it wasn't, we wouldn't be alive now. Sometimes Richard tells me that I was born in the wrong era, because like I like the old-fashioned things. I like, you know, like listed houses and chickens. I would like to have chickens, and I like old-fashioned things, old-fashioned values. But actually, he obviously jokes, but you know, this is the best time to be alive, because we are alive, and so we need to be excited. And so I believe that Apostle John here, he prompts us to live remembering that this is the last hour, but he doesn't want us to feel paralyzed or distracted. He actually wants us to realize that it's the time is short, so we can continue on our mission and be focused and not distracted by these things. And last year, just not long after the war in Ukraine broke out, I started to feel again a little bit like this, emotional and fearful and stuff. And I came across a quote that I'm going to put up there. I put up there. And it says, "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." It's lovely, isn't it? And so that's by Martin Luther. And so no matter what happens tomorrow, God requires our faithfulness today. So as well as though bad things have to take place, at the same time, God created this world for beauty and for communion and cultivation. So don't forget that amidst the headlines. Don't stop ordering your word, tending the souls that he entrusted you with. And don't lose faith in the times of despair with the garden that you have been called to keep and with the people who depend on your love. Because I don't know if you agree with me, but I think it's so easy to suspend normal life in the midst of these relentless headlines. And if we allow that to take too much space in our mind, we won't be present in the moment and we won't be able to focus on the mission that God is calling us to fulfill in here. And also, in this second part of this verse, I see that John is not so much focused on that figure of Antichrist, but he is actually talking about like that spirit that is at work in the world and even in the church that is trying to take place of Christ, because that part of that word, antichrist, the anti, it doesn't mean just against, but it can also mean instead. So it can be anything or anyone that puts themselves in the place of Christ. So be warned that there will be people who will try to deceive us in the last days. Okay, so let's go to our next verse, 19. So it says, "They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us." So first, I'm going to tell you what this verse is not saying, okay? So this verse is not talking about people who have moved away or who have moved to another evangelical church because they have some friends there or they moved house. It's not talking about those kind of people, okay? And also, like, if you look at me and Sam, for example, so we our theology is like our understanding of God can vary a little bit, but actually we would agree on the core doctrines. And so that wouldn't necessarily mean that we have to break fellowship just because we disagree on these minor things. And how do I know this? Because when someone like me or you gives their life to Jesus, it's not just a mere decision of the will, or it's not just a decision. It's when the Holy Spirit comes to you and he changes your heart and he indwells your heart and he leads you, he protects you, and he makes sure that you stay on the right direction. And remember when Jesus says in the Bible as well that I am the shepherd and you are the sheep, and the sheep know my voice. So sometimes a sheep can go stray, and it may stray for a little while, but I can guarantee that the shepherd is after them and he will bring them back. He will. In fact, I would like to pray now even for those stray sheep, and you know, some people that you might know that are straying right now. I just pray, Lord, that they will hear your voice in the midst of that wilderness, and that they will listen to you, Lord, and then you can bring them back to the safety of the sheepfold, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, yeah, so John is not talking about those people or the people who move churches. Actually, he's talking about people who leave the Christian faith, the core doctrines, and it will be explained a little bit further in the coming verses, but they start believing things that are contrary to the scriptures. And, you know, those things sound good, but they are not good. So, like that story that I told you at the beginning, you know, the grass, what it teaches us, the grass might be greener on the other side, but it's because it's fake. So sometimes when something looks too good to be true, it actually is too good to be true. Apart from the gospel, that's the only thing that is sounds too good to be true, but actually is true. So yeah, so just, you know, just a thought really, that if something looks like too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. So let's look at that following verse, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. So this verse is an encouragement. It says you already know the truth, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is indwelling, and the Holy Spirit teaches us and he prompts us, and he leads us to all truth, away from the lies. And I would like to share with you a verse from Jeremiah 31. So this verse was written in the Old Testament, and at that time, Jesus coming to the earth, that was still a thing of the future. So let's read it together. So it's Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 35. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and teach his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them, or the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So here he's talking about new covenant that was coming, and it was going to be established on the blood of the Messiah. And it says, I will put the law within them. So that is what happens to you when you give your life to Christ. He puts it on the inside of you. Back then, the law was external. It was written on the tablets of stone, but it had no transforming power. But now we live in the days when Jesus, you know, in the fruit of Jesus' death and resurrection, and we receive the Holy Spirit, and he guides our heart, and we know the Lord because of that. So not long after I became a Christian, someone came knocking on my door, and they were saying, like, wanted to share with me about God. And then I said, I'm a born-again Christian. And they said, oh, okay, that's good. But you also need to be part of us, or you also need to do this and that. And, you know, I didn't know anything. Like, I knew something, but I didn't know a lot. But something in me just felt like, this is not right, this doesn't sound right. And that's what happens, you know, like when you give your life to Christ, he will guide you to the old truth, and he will guide you away from lies. So even though you might not know a lot, but you can still rely on that fact that the Holy Spirit is your guide, and he will guide you. So let's go to our next verses, 22 and 23. So who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. Don't know what I've done. Oh, I need to keep my hand away from here, apparently. Let's hope it works. Denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges them, the Son has the Father also. So here John is talking about these people that went away from us. So they denied Jesus Christ. They walked away from the core doctrines of our biblical faith. And they denied Christ. And back then, you know, they were trying to say that the crucifixion didn't happen. And they were trying to lead people astray from the Christian church. So how do we spot like these kind of people? So they love spirituality, but not so much Jesus. They add to the simple faith in Christ alone. Their doctrines are contrary to the scriptures. They have like the artificial stuff that looks appealing on the outside, but has no life in it. And they add things to the message of the gospel. They can come even from the rows of churches. And they say that they have, some of them might even say they have some extra knowledge. They might say things like, you are saved by grace, but you also need to do like these things. or you are forgiven, but you need to go to like a court in heaven. I don't know. Like, there's so many things I heard over the years, you know, being a Christian. So, but when you, because you have Holy Spirit, He will be able to guide you away from those kind of things that are contrary to the scriptures, and help you to stay away from that kind of deception. So let's look at our following verses 24 and 25. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promises us, eternal life. So I feel like John is calling us here to return to our simple faith. So He wants us to grow in Christ, but He wants us to never grow out of Him. So nothing is more central or more important than Him dying on the cross for us, shedding His blood. Nothing is more important. And if you grow in knowledge, and if you study, and you become super clever and wise, but you drift away from Christ, that you've been studying the wrong thing. So you need to always bring yourself back to that central message of Christ, because nothing else is more important than that. So eternal life is something that starts now, because only after we receive Him, we feel truly alive, because that simple faith gives you eternal life. I don't know you guys, but I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, it was just like, you know, the grass was greener and the sky was bluer, and I felt clean on the inside. I felt forgiven. I felt fully alive. I felt that joy, that unspeakable joy that you just don't normally get. I felt all those things. And I think John is saying, just return to that, like, cling on to me, cling on to Jesus, cling on to that simple faith. And then it goes on to saying, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. So that is how you stay away from deception. That last phrase there, remain in Him. That's what we do. We need to remain in Him. And He's not saying here, like, teachers are bad and don't learn from the teachers, but He's saying, like, that thing that you experienced when you became born again, it was just Holy Spirit, and you didn't need these teachers. It was just the Holy Spirit you needed. So He wants us just to return to that and to remain in Him and to abide in Him. It's as simple as that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So yeah, John just wants to return to that simplicity of faith, not a simplistic faith, but a simple faith. That sense of forgiveness and that sense of purpose. Sorry. So I just want to give you some practical tips about about how do you do that? How do you abide in Christ so that you can stay away from deception? So I use something. I use this method that I adapted a few years ago, and I call it Philippians 4 filter. That's what it's called. And it's based on Philippians 4 verse 8, which should come up. And it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. So what I try to do is, like, anything that I expose my mind to, so it could be on my phone, could be on my laptop, TV, people I talk to, I just filter and I think about these things. So is what they're saying or what I'm seeing, is it true? Is it noble? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? And if it's not any of those things, then I'm not going to allow that to take space in my mind and to occupy space in my mind and to distract me and to make me feel bad. So that's what you do. Like, even like I was talking to Faye during the week, and she was saying, like, she was reading something, and she said that this guy was saying, rededicate your devices to the Lord. So if you've never done it, maybe just dedicate your devices to the Lord and just think about the things that come through to you, whether they are any of those things. And if they're not, that perhaps you should probably stay away from them. And so that's what John wants us to do here. He wants us to focus on those things. And of course, the central message of that is to focus on the finished work of Christ and never get tired of the gospel, like hear it over and over, preach it over and over, because that is the centrality, that is where the joy comes from. And that's how you will stay in that place of abiding in Christ. And then when you go into the world, you know, you can cultivate a lovely place in your home by creating these spaces where you can just be exposed to these kind of good things that are true and noble. And then when you go into the world, it'll be easy to spot a lie, or it will be easy to filter between what is true and what's not true. But if we allow these other things to infiltrate our mind, then it'll be harder. It'll be harder to do so. So yeah, so just like to sum up really what I want you to take away today is, so be aware of the times. Even warn people that time is short, and but don't fear, and don't let it distract you from your mission, and don't allow that fear to creep in, but actually allow it to spur you on to be able to do what everything that God has called you to do. And then my second thing would be, don't be deceived, and how you would do that is by abiding in Him. So abide in Christ, and He will keep you away from the counterfeit and from the lies. So let me just pray now. So, Father God, I just want to pray for all people here today. I just pray for everyone that maybe drifted away from that place where they experienced that joy, that cleanness, that fullness of life in You, Lord. I just pray that You will restore the joy of their salvation, Lord, that they can again just fall in love with You over again and to their first love. They can return to their first love, and that can come and experience that love and that grace that you give, Lord. And also I pray, Lord, that people will be, that You will keep their minds away from the things that are of the enemy, that are lies of the enemy. And I just pray that they will be able to filter between the things, that they will be able to put things in place in their lives that will keep them clean and will keep them away from the lies and from deception, Lord. And I also pray that if any people here live in fear and feel fearful about, you know, the times to come, I just pray that instead of that, they will feel excitement, that this is the best time to be alive because You created them for such a time as this. And I pray for boldness, and I pray for courage and faith to rise up in this place. And finally, I would like to pray for you if you're not a Christian today, but actually what I explained about those things that you can experience when you give your life to Christ, that joy, that fullness of life, that feeling of purpose, then I would also invite you to find me or one of the elders or someone, and you know, we would love to pray with you. And you know, this journey with Jesus, it's not super easy, but it's super exciting, and it's you finally have that purpose of life. And so I would encourage you, and we'll give you a Bible as well to set you off on your journey. So yeah, find us afterwards. Or if you would like to pray for any of those things, that you can fall in love with Jesus over again, then there will be a prayer ministry team here, and they will pray with you. So, amen.